verse 15. I don't very seldom do this, but I'm going to do it today. I very seldom ever do this. Before you go to bed tonight, I want you to pray for me. I've had a, Brother Steve Brownie would know what I'm talking about. I woke up with a migraine headache today, and I've had it all day. And I don't know if my blood, I'm a little woozy, and had it all day. I even laid in the chair then when I went home for about an hour and 20 minutes trying to come back. But for some reason, sometimes your blood pressure gets a little high and you have trouble. But it'll pass. Amen?
Amen.
But I want to talk to you about eternity tonight. And we'll just take, I'll probably go to about 7 o'clock and I'll stop. There's so many things I could talk to you on this subject, you know, for probably 5 weeks. But let me share a few things with you tonight. Let's look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm glad you're here. Boy, that was, it's every Sunday, it just seems like you can't miss because you don't know what's going to happen, you know? It's so exciting. And I shared with Mrs. Cochran, Sister Cochran, how many of you came up and told me you prayed for her and how you were asking her about her well-being. And it thrilled my heart that you cared, and I let her know that you cared. And it's a great church, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, even, and I put these, a lot of these folks that are visiting, they haven't joined yet, but we put them on the one call now, the senior citizens and stuff. And they came up to me and Rosie and said, "Boy, thank you for putting us on that one call now. We really enjoy it." If you don't get the one call now, and you'd like to be on that one call now, we put out calls almost every day, it seems like. Make sure if you're not getting it, you're not on the list. So if you want to be on, all you got to do is give us your phone number. We'll type it in and on the computer, and it puts you in. And when we make that phone call, it goes out, and you receive it. So, alrighty, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, it's a tremendous verse. I want to talk to you about eternity tonight. Look at verse 15. "For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Boy, who's that? Yeah. "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high, in the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." But I want you to look at that first sentence. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." I want us to think about and talk about and preach about eternity tonight. Father, you put this in my heart yesterday, and I pray, dear God, tonight I can be a blessing. Pray that you'd help me to speak well for you. Holy Spirit of God, give me clarity of my mind. And Lord, help me to be a blessing to the people. Thank you for them coming back on a very cold night. Lord, thank you for all those who were baptized today and those that came. I just pray that you'll bless them. I pray you'll bless Brother Kativer, Lord. Please heal his hand up. Oh, God, please heal his hand up and be with him and be with Annie Saylor. And Lord, be with Sister Cochran, Lord. I just pray you'll heal her up too. And just bless our people today. I think about Fran Cooley. And Lord, there's so many folk. I just pray you'll bless all our people. And the Bill Young, Mr. and Mrs. Young, and Lord, like the list goes on forever. Lord, just bless our people. Give us a great night in the scripture tonight, I pray. Lord, would you put one little thought tonight in even the young people's heart? I might be a little boring for some people tonight, but Holy Spirit of God, I pray something somewhere in the message that even the young people here will get a hold of something and it will stay there forever. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Maybe just seated. You know, when I think of eternity, I was thinking about eternity the other day. I think about eternal things. It just, when you start thinking about eternity, to me, How many think it seems too great? I mean, eternity is awesome, enormous, too great for me to grasp, too large for me to, too enormous for me to. When I think about eternity, Josh, it's too much for me to take in all at one time. I can't grasp the greatness, the largeness, the bigness, the truth about eternity. Think about it. You look up in the sky on a real clear night. How many of you ever looked up in the sky on a real clear night? And you see those thousands and thousands of stars. Pastor and David, I went to the hospital to see Mrs. Cochran last night, and as we were driving home, he said, "Hey, preacher, that bright star there, I think that's Jupiter." And I think it was Jupiter. And so it's exciting. How many ever looked at the planets and stuff with telescopes and things? I used to always like that when I was a kid. I like to look at the solar system. It always intrigued me. And I always thought it'd be cool to go out and shoot out there. You know, I'm afraid of heights. I'd like to shoot out there and go to all those planets. Amen. When I get, after you get to heaven, you will be doing that. You know, like the Jetsons. We just won't, we don't have that big dog with us, but you know. And I can't think of the dog, what's his name, Pluto or like Astro. Yeah, Astro. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm leaving him home. I'm going to leave him home. Anyways, how many of you ever really looked into the stars and just, I mean, on a real clear night, and when there's thousands and thousands, you say, if you're not taken by that, something's wrong. I mean, I look up and I say, wow. I've always been intrigued with the canopy of the creation of God. I really have. And it's actually what God brought. It's actually one of the preachers that God used to bring me to Christ. I used to walk, look up. I told you my life story. I used to go out from the bars at night. And I'd look up and say, God, there's got to be more this in life than this. And I'd be looking up and looking at the stars. But when you look up in the sky in a real clear night, you see thousands and thousands of stars. You try to imagine, at least I do, the vastness of space. And it blows my mind, kids. And they say there's black holes or something. You shoot through them real good. They probably have them on your games, don't they? If you hit one, you get to go 500 points more or something like that. I don't know. But I don't know all those games they got for the kids today. But, I mean, when you think you could just keep going and 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 it never ends. And God made it all. I mean, we're going to think with me. When we're talking about eternity tonight, I just want you to think with me. Bear with me tonight now. I'm having a little physical problem here, but I got a truth here you need to get. And we're going to, what got me thinking about the trillions of years is the trillions of dollars the government's given away to the bankers. But Brother Mark, we're going to live billions and billions and I mean, we used to sing that song at Lighthouse all the time, and I used to sing it with Dave and Sharon, but I'd get so excited, I'd start preaching in between it. 10,000 years, and it will just be started. Yeah, 10,000 years is nothing. When we're talking eternity, we're talking billions and trillions and trillions and trillions and never, and trillions is nothing. When you talk eternity, your trillions and trillions and trillions is nothing. It's dandruff. Hello? I don't have it, though, because I use Head and Shoulders. I really do. That's why you never see dandruff on me. Not that, I've got silver hair, so you can't see it in there anyway. It's hiding. I was talking to Jim and Judy, Brother Josh and I. We had a great time yesterday, didn't we, Josh? We had to do that more in visitation. That was fun. We went and played bingo with Mrs. Florence Jost. And they were playing bingo over there, and we sat with her and had a good time. And she never won one game. Boy, that irritated me. Next time, we're getting our own cards, Josh. And she said, "Preacher, you want to win more than I do?" And I said, "You ain't kidding. I don't care if I'm playing marbles. I want to win, man." This one guy kept winning all the time. Guy to the left, I said, "I'm gonna smack him in the head, you idiot! Give him, take his card, give her his, you know, give him, And anyways, every stinking game I think that guy won. He was a cheater, though, because a couple times Josh told me he called bigger, but he didn't really have it. But he liked to win, so he just kept saying. The woman said, no, you ain't got it, Arthur, or whatever his name was. Well, I wanted to win. I almost was going to say bingo for Florence, but she checked the cards, and I said, I wanted to. I came this close. Anyways, we went to Jim and Judy's. We had three visits we made. We didn't get home until about 5 o'clock. And one of the visits, we went to Jim and Judy Furness. You know, Jim was the best friend of Andy Behan. Jimmy's so sick, but he can't get out in that cold air, and it just broke his heart. He couldn't go to the funeral. Day Andy's funeral was four below zero. And he just couldn't go. As a matter of fact, I told Grandma Sue and a bunch of them, don't you dare go out. It's too cold. You'll catch pneumonia. And I don't think Andy'd want that anyways. And we spent some time with Jim and Judy and Frank. And of all the people that I know in my ministry, and I've been in the ministry over about 29 years now, Jim Furness probably is probably got the most hardship from a malpractice from a doctor, in my estimation, in my heart, than anyone I've ever seen. And Jimmy was a carpenter. You know Jimmy Furness. And he was a good carpenter. He's a phenomenal carpenter. As a matter of fact, he did a lot of work in this area. And the doctor did that operation, tore up the hole, and then after he did the operation, Jimmy's arm started to move. And after that operation, Jimmy never could work again. He never worked again after that. It was right before I came to be the pastor. And they fought it in court, and they fought it, and I said, Jimmy, you've got to win this. And he went to court, and he won it 7-5, but they said it was a hung jury, because 7-4, I think it was, but he said there was not enough yays. It was 7-4, he won. Then he went to another one, he needed one more, and they said no, and he lost it, and they lost all their money. He lost all those years of not working. And to me, and they went through all kinds of heartaches. He went through a lot of health issues. You that know Jimmy and Judy Furness know what I'm talking about. And they're sweet people. And fought court battle after court battle and went through all the pressure. When only people that know about stress and pressure can relate. When you're under great pressure, and some of you know what I'm talking about, I'm telling you, life is hard when you're under pressure. And they went through all kinds of stress. And I told them, I said, Jimmy, I almost cry every time I'm with them. And I get mad. I want to tear somebody apart. And I told them, I said, they're lucky I'm not the mafia. Those jurors that voted against them, they'd be hurting right now, I'll tell you right now. But I'm not the mafia. So, hello, amen? Okay, preacher, you're really going today. But here's what I said to Jimmy so he can move on. I said, Jimmy, you know, I don't have the answers. I feel horrible what was done to you. And they were cheated out of the last 19 years of their life. They've been cheated out of. They've actually been cheated out of the last 19 years of their life. And I said, Jimmy, I don't have the answer. I've prayed and prayed. I just said, I know every time I go by your house, I ask God to bless you and Judy. I try to do this about every one of you. When if I go by your homes, I don't stop, but I always ask. I try to ask God. God bless them. I go by Eddie and Lizzie. I say, Lord, please help Lizzie not to hit Eddie anymore. He can't take no more. And we're too old to run anymore, aren't we, Eddie? But, and then I got in the car with Josh. And I said, Josh, we'll never know till we get to heaven why this happened. And I've never said this to Jimmy. But I think if I had to be pushed for an answer. You know, God works in mysterious ways, and sometimes we don't understand them. But you know, until he got real bad with his breathing, they were here every single service. But when Jimmy was healthy, he wasn't here all the time. He was never here hardly, was he? And I said, Josh, the only thing I could think was, I've seen Jim Furness come in his spiritual life. The last 5 or 6 years, I've seen him come forward in his spiritual life more than I ever saw him in my life. And I said, you know, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but had he been able to work, maybe he wouldn't have been as faithful in church. I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to see his pastor. And I said, you know, I told Josh, I said, you know, I never get mad at God. He's never wrong. And even though I might not have the answer, but I know one thing. I know Romans 8:28 says, for all things work together for good. And what God, I don't know the reason he had that malpractice, but God did get good from it. Because now Jimmy knows more about the Lord. He's closer to God than he ever would have been probably, because he'd have been out working, not in church every service. Are you with me or not? And here's what I said to him, Mike. And this is what got me going. I went home and started writing this message, Josh. I said, Jimmy, you've been cheated out of the last 19 years of your life, and we can never get those back. But I said, you know what? And I wish you didn't have to have those lost 19 years. But when we go to heaven, you're going to have eternity. And these 19 years, and this our life is so short. The Bible says in James it's but a vapor. I said, Jimmy, when you get to heaven, you're going to have all eternity in the things of God that you might not have had. Hello? And so I said, look forward. Try to overcome this short walk that we have right now. And just look forward to eternity. Because that's really the great hope that they have. And by the way, that's really the great hope every one of us have. Not just Brother Jim. Amen? I said, when you get to heaven, it's going to be forever. It's going to be forever, and there's not, and he's going to have a brand new body, and him and Judy are never going to suffer no more. By the way, you and I aren't either. Amen? You know, I noted this. Because we live in this life, although but for a short time compared to eternity. I mean, how do you compare time to eternity? It's like apples and watermelons. You thought I was going to say oranges, didn't you? We have a hard time, even though we live in this short time of compared to eternity, we have a hard time focusing on eternity. It's hard sometimes for us to focus on eternity because we're so caught up in the day, in the time that we live. Stay with me. We have a hard time focusing on eternity because this is all we have to know right now, is this life that we're living right now that's made up of seconds, minutes, hours, and you're hoping I don't preach an hour, months, weeks, years. We're all taken up in these little segments of time. But the moment we die and when the rapture happens, we're going to step out of time, and we're going to go out in eternity, and Brother Jack, time will be no more. I mean, it blows my mind. You're not going to have to worry what time it is, because time's no more, because you just stepped out of time into God's realm. Yeah, eternity. Yep. Eternity. That's why God says 1,000 years to him is but one day. What's 1,000 years? They're nothing. Eternity. Say that with me. Eternity. It'll blow your mind. Think with me now. I'm going to just do one thing with you tonight. I got 4 or 5 here, but I'll do one. I do have one about the everlasting nation, though, but I think it's 3 or 4. I don't think I'm going to get to it. But we cling. And Mark, as great and as eternity is, and it's so great we can't even grasp it or comprehend it, Betty. And you think that would be our main attention? Eternity? We cling and focus more on time. Because, Miss Mert, we live in time. Right? Hello? Anybody home?
Yeah.
Think about this. I understand we live now in time and have not entered into eternity. And that's why I think we focus more on time. But I think we ought to set our affections on things above and not on earth. And I think God will bless us for doing it. Do you ever think about eternity? Webster, I got my big Webster out, 1820, I think it is. And it defines eternity without as this. Without beginning or end of existence. Whew. Can you imagine how long you could play basketball in eternity? Think about that. The bounce will keep on going. Just think about them jokes, Lizzie. You got an eternity to figure them out. Isn't that exciting? Hey, Eddie! Remember back at Bethel and Ravenna back in 1975? I figured it out, Ed. And now I'm going to get to laugh for eternity over it. And we've already laughed our short laugh. Lizzie's going to have all kinds of laughs in heaven, and hers are going to last for eternity. You're smart, Lizzie. You're getting a bigger laugh than we are. Think about this, though. Turn the phones off. Did you ever think, because we're not in eternity yet. Hello, this is God calling. I remember the day God called us that one. It was really exciting. The definition of eternity, enduring forever. The definition for eternity, past and future. The definition of eternity, endless. The definition of eternity, and you find this in your 1 Corinthians 15, immortal. Right now we have mortal bodies. God's going to give us immortality. Bodies that live forever. Amen? Do you ever think about some things that are eternal? Have you ever thought about some things that are eternal or everlasting? Tonight I want us to think about just a few things that last forever, last for eternity. Let's think of some things about that last for eternity right now. Let's think about some eternal things. Well, the first one I have on my paper is God. Amen? Look at Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Wow. Our God inhabits eternity. He always has. He never didn't. That blows my mind. Some of you kids have got some IQs. This will blow your mind. Think about the bigness and largeness and the greatness of God. Our God is one that inhabits eternity. He's always been there throughout all eternity. Never, God never was not. That really blows your mind when you think about it. This does not compute. Hello? Man, I'm only through the eighth grade. I can't figure that kind of problem out. Look at Psalms. Look at Psalms chapter 90, verse 1 and 2. It's already almost 7. I'll do this on another day when I feel good. Psalms 90. Not bad. I still wrote a couple good jokes off. I asked God to help you remember. You'll probably remember the jokes I wrote off and you won't even remember some of the stuff I gave you from the Bible. Lord, make it the Bible things. Look at Psalms 90, verse 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Did you see that? Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Amen.
I'm working on a point here. You'll see in just 1 minute here. Micah 5:2, don't turn to it, about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. He was from old to everlasting. Think about this. Listen, God always was. There never was a time that God was not. That's amazing. That means we have a pretty great God.
Amen.
Think about the greatness and the power of the Almighty. He never was. He always was. From everlasting to everlasting. And Lizzie, sometimes I have such a great God who has spanned through all time. And sometimes I doubt him. We doubt him. Sometimes we fear. Hello? Sometimes we don't believe he can do things. We have a God that we can't even put on a chart. There's not a large enough computer in the world that could compute the greatness of God. Little Ray Ray, everlasting means, honey, you can run all the numbers you want forever and ever and ever, and they keep on running and they keep getting larger, but it never runs out because God always has been. That's pretty big, isn't it? Stay with me, though. I thought about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I got thinking, Eddie, you know, we get excited about in the beginning God, but really, he always was. So when he created heaven and earth, he's already been around for forever. He was just there for us. That's not the, in Genesis 1:1, that's not the making heaven and earth in the 7 days, the creation. That was not God's beginning. He was just there for our beginning. Hello? Taco Bell's still open when we get done. Don't give up on me. Are you still with me? That's what you're going to remember. Taco Bell. Notice, listen, can we really grasp how great our eternal God really is? Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 12. Who hath measured the waters? We're talking about the creation now. Are you in Isaiah 40? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? God. All the waters, ready? All the waters of the ocean, and he measured them in his hand. Hello? Anybody home? Phil, I just got your attention, your boy. Lightning got, he said, woo, that's a lot of water. Man, that's some big hands. Could he palm some basketballs? Bet he could stuff too. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, meted out heaven with the span. This, Mark, you just do those stars. Like you kids play on the you kids here at AB, Bethel Baptist Christian Academy, at gym time, you kids are throwing them. God just, like you throw that ball, Andrew, God just took all the stars and blew them out. Whew. You bad dude. Pretty strong. I couldn't pick up any of those planets, could you? And comprehend the dust of the earth and measure and weight in the mountains and the scales and the hills of balance. Then he asked this question. Hello, planet Earth. Like the, hello? Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor had taught him? Well, the answer is no one. No one. With whom took he counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, taught him the knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? No one. No one ever taught God nothing. He knows it all. He's A to Z and beyond that. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 22:13. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. And that's not talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken in there either. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance, behold, he taketh up the isles of very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast is sufficient for burning. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted them less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness would you compare him unto him? And people are so stupid, they make statues, and they make idols. Can you imagine someone so great, and people making things out of wood and concrete and other things, and made of animals? Hello? It shows you the depravity of man, and it shows you that man doesn't grab how great God is. See, we haven't grabbed the magnitude of eternity. We haven't grasped, not even close to it, an eternal God, an eternal creator. Are you still with me? Look at verse 21. I love this. 22, rather. It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth. That's why they knew the world wasn't flat when they were going on those ships. Columbus and all the boys before him, they knew it wasn't. They read Isaiah. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof. And see, God said this world's not flat; it's a circle; it's round. Boy, I wish science could catch up to God's Bible. Amen. Or as grasshoppers, we're just like a bunch of little grasshoppers, Brother David. We're just like Natty. We're just like a little grasshopper, Jimmy. God, look, you see, you just ribbit, ribbit. He says, "There's little Jimmy, ribbit, ribbit down there." We're just a bunch of little grasshoppers. Do they ribbit or is that frogs? They cricket, cricket, cricket. Is that how they do it? Anyways, I haven't taken any pills tonight either, but I feel like I'm on a... Look at verse 18. Look at verse 26, I'm sorry. Lift up your eyes on high. He tells all you kids, I want you to go out someday on a real clear night when it's warm out, because it's too cold tonight, when there's no clouds. Look at verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold who has created these things. You see all those stars and planets and suns? I created them. Amen. Not me, the Lord did. That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names. He named every one of them. By the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, and because he's so powerful, not one faileth. Why don't those stars run together? Why don't they all come together? Why don't they just fall down? Because God hung them and said, stay there! And they obey him. They obey him more than we do. Just look up to heaven and see how big your God is. Now look at this. I'm getting near the end. Yet, by the way, I'm just in the introduction, but because the time's out, I'll maybe pick this up either next Sunday night or Wednesday or something. Yet an overwhelming as this is, his greatness is so enormous, we can't grasp it. We really don't, Eddie. I don't. And I soon forget how great he is. We start to worry, man, God, if you don't pull this out for us. He's like we're on the ship. Don't you care we perish? He's sleeping and they're sweating. Water's coming in, storming, ship's going under, they think. And we're just like them. Hey, God, don't you care? Is there a little grasshopper down there saying something? Yes, I care. And by the way, I'm in control. And you just lost your reason, because you're talking to the Almighty God that's the creator that always was throughout all eternity. I know everything. And your fear and your worry is not founded, because I watch over all my children. Hello? Did you ever think our God is bigger than life itself? He is. Our God's bigger than life. And we still don't trust Him. We still don't rely on Him. We still don't put our faith and family in His keeping. Can we ever imagine? Can you imagine how great our God is? I wonder if he feels sad a lot of times that we don't look up to Him like we should. I don't think He does, because I think He knows we're just men. And He knows that we're just children that don't understand. Read your Bible this week and think about eternity. Oh, there's a lot of things of eternity, I'm telling you right now. God's eternal. Jesus eternal. Spirit of God's eternal. The Word of God's eternal. Amen. The soul of a man's eternal. Heaven's going to be eternity. Hell's going to be for eternity. The nation Israel is an everlasting nation and will always be. I am going to show you about Israel Wednesday. Wednesday I'm going to show you about Israel. Even the rainbow. When you look at chapter 9 of Genesis. Yeah, I'm going to take 2 more minutes and show you it. Look at Genesis chapter 9. This is something the kids will get. Look at Genesis chapter 9. By the way, I put my notes away, so that's a good thing for you. I'm going to stop. Heaven's going to be for eternity. Hell's going to be for eternity. Look at this rainbow. Not only did the eternal God make the heaven and earth, but then He showed you again His greatness of His power. He gave Noah and the world a rainbow. Notice in Genesis chapter 9, let's pick up around verse 13. Verse 12 is good. God said, "This is the token of a covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that's with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud," the rainbow. Well, I think we were down in Florida this year, Nat. Didn't we see some real great rainbows in Naples this year? I mean, they were big ones. I mean, it was some of the greatest I've ever seen. I do set my bowl in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring the cloud over the earth, and the bowl shall be seen in the cloud, and I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh and the waters, and no more become a God's promising you, kids. He'll never flood the... See, the flood... A lot of places in this world flood, but He made a promise He would never... See, in Noah's day, it was the whole earth was flooded. The entire globe of this earth was overrun with water. And that rainbow is a promise from God that He'd never overflow the earth again with water. Now, certain areas of the world gets flooded, but not the entire globe. Are you with me? But what I want you to see something from this. "And the bowl shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." Now watch. Look up here. So every time, Andrew, every time, Marlena, you see a rainbow, you're seeing the hand of an eternal God.
Yes. Amen.
And by the way, no, back there at that time, we're judging on calculations. Brother Mike, that's approximately 2,300 years after Adam was born. So That's approximately around 3,700 years ago. So for 3,700 years, Brother Jack, to 4,000 years, from Noah's day up to this day now, for almost 4,000 years, Tommy, for almost 4,000 years, the rainbow has been appearing before man.
Amen.
It's no accident. Yeah. And by the way, it proves to you that God exists.
Amen.
And he said it's an everlasting covenant. Let me give you one last scripture and I'll shut up. Not only did he give it for us down here, now here we got different colors, don't we? But God's going to keep the rainbow going even in heaven. It's going to be a different color. But you're going to have a rainbow. See, there's never going to be time. He's given us an everlasting rainbow. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and I'll stop. Revelation 4. Revelation's in the first book, last book of the Bible. Genesis, Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Let me get to it here. Look at verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open. And heaven, the door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither." You know what that is, church? That's the rapture. Hey, sis, we're about ready to hear that very thing. Diane, that's how close. This is, kids, this is talking about when Jesus comes and calls us up. This is right before the trib. Are you with me? He said, "Come up with me." I heard it was the word of a trumpet talking to me, which he said, "Come up hither, and I will show these which must be hereafter." And immediately, by the way, when the rapture happens, immediately we're going to be in heaven. "I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven." Where are we at? In heaven. "One sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow." Oh, my lands, preacher. There's even a rainbow in heaven. Yeah, God gave us a rainbow for eternity. One for now, one for later. Pretty great God, isn't he? Around, there was a rainbow around the throne in the sight like unto emerald. If I know emerald, I think that's kind of a green color, isn't it? Greenish. And so that rainbow's not going to, it's going to be green. And so, you think about God and his greatness. You think about eternity. You know what I want you to do today for tonight, this week? Take one day this week and just sit down for like 10 minutes. Turn the stinking TV off. Turn the radio off. Take the phone off the hook. And sit down and think about eternity. Try to think about eternity. The vastness, the greatness. Think about your God who is eternal. Think of how he always was. There never was a time that he wasn't. Dr. Hiles used to always say, "Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God?" Like some people say, "Well, I never thought of that. God never said, I never thought of that." There's nothing he never thought of. Amen? We have a tremendous God. We have a tremendous future. Kids, I wish I could describe it to you. It's beyond me. That's why I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, Andy. Over in Corinthians, he said, words can't describe it. Words unspeakable. How can you describe something that's bigger than what we can imagine? I'll give you something new kids can grab. God is off the chart. He's off the charts. Man, we have a God that's off the charts. That's how big he is. And when we get in those times of real heartache and sorrow, and we think, man, he can't help me. Hello? I'm only the great big green giant. Ho, ho, ho. He's bigger than the green giant. How many are with me yet? See, he's so great, I have to just tell you about a giant to try to make you think how big he is. But he's billions of times bigger than the giant. But to get it in man's mind, we have to bring it down in. We have to make it smaller so we can try to get a glimpse of how great he is. Amen? That's why Corinthians 13 says, we're looking through a glass, but it's not clear right now. 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, start looking though. Start thinking. Be still, the Bible says in Psalms 46:10. Be still and know God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time. And Lord, thank you for letting me have enough strength to stand up here tonight. You're so great. Thank you for my people that listen so good. And thank you for being our great, 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 great God. Lord, forgive me and many of us that sometimes we fail to realize the largeness, the greatness, the bigness, the vastness of our God. Beyond man's words. That's why the Bible says in Corinthians 2:9, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and nothing's entered the heart of man which God has prepared for them that love him. Dear God, 1 Corinthians 2:9 really kind of sums it up for us for eternity. Heaven's out of this world, and we just can't grasp it. And sometimes we just need to focus, though, and take a few moments and say, oh my, this is larger than I ever thought about. This is greater. This is more spectacular, more stupendous, more beautiful, more beyond descriptive words that I've ever could give thought to. Help us. Help us to think about eternity. And when we think about it, help our kids understand there's an eternal God in heaven that loves them, that watches over them, that cares about them, that they can look up to, and he would literally hear them. Help them to pray to you tonight, Lord, and get guidance. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand for a verse. What page are you on, Brother Mark?
115.
If you'd like to come, you come right now.